I'm going to ask you, if you would, to take your Bible. We're going to turn to a few passages of Scripture before I get in detail into the message that God's laid on my heart. This year, I told you on Sunday mornings, we're going to be considering what saith the Scriptures. And so I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter number 4, if you would turn there. And just want you to navigate through some things with me. And, I'll take you back to the Sunday school hour. Brother Frank said, be patient. And so if you'll navigate through some of these scripture in the first part of the message, I think it'll help you to get the real crux of the message that God's laid on my heart. Brethren, I'm concerned. I'm concerned for me. I'm concerned for you. I'm concerned for Bible-believing churches. We have so much to be thankful for. We who are Bible believers and who attend Bible-believing churches, you see, we get to come to church every opportunity that God affords us, and we get to open up a copy of God's Word. And we get to hear Bible teaching and Bible preaching on a regular basis. And because of that, the Bible says that we will be held to a greater condemnation in James chapter 3 if we're not careful in the way that we receive the Word of God. I fear in my heart for myself. This is not just about me talking down in a condescending way to you. This is me being just transparent with you. If we're not careful, if I'm not careful, if you're not careful, we'll hear the Word of God over and over again, and it'll almost become to us like a broken record to where we just think, well, you know what? I'll always have that opportunity. And we'll begin to hear familiar things. And we'll begin to develop our own ideas or our own mindset of what we will receive. And we'll come to the house of God with a supposed mindset on what we believe. And we'll almost block out what God says. And we'll develop a hardness in our heart to where we'll just get to the place where we say, you know what, I know what I believe. And there's nothing that preacher, that evangelist, that Sunday school teacher, that missionary, there's nothing they're going to say to change that. I know where I stand, and I'm here, and I'm fixed, and nothing's going to change. And that's a dangerous place to be. Amen. That's a dangerous place to be. The Bible says that we ought to approach this Word of God with humility. We ought to approach it with a dependency that only the Spirit of God can break down what the Word of God says and apply it to my heart and to teach me and to help me to grow and to help me to change and to help me to get to a place where I need to be in my Christian experience to where God can use me. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God that does these things. And so as I look at Romans chapter number 4, there's this phrase that has stood out to me for some years. And as I was laying in bed one night, actually it was early one morning, and just spending some time just meditating and thinking and God dealing with me about some things, God just laid it on my heart. Look at verse number 3 where it says, for what saith the Scripture? And I think that this really should be the end of all matters of faith and practice for us. Amen. What saith the Scripture? Not what does the preacher believe? What does my church believe? What do the Baptists believe? And I'm Baptist. Amen, okay? I want to make that very clear. I'm Baptist. Amen. But before I'm Baptist, I'm Christian. I'm a follower of the Word of God. I'm a possessor of the Spirit of God. Amen. I'm a longer for the presence of God. Amen. And I'm headed for the kingdom of God. Amen. And brethren, I just fear in my heart that if we're not careful, we'll get off base. And when I say we, I'm not talking about the church down the street or in the next county. Brethren, I mean us. I mean me. I mean you. If we're not careful, we can get this preconceived idea that we have all the answers and that we know all that we need to know, when really we just haven't attained yet. There's just so much more that God wants to do. And I don't want to get comfortable. And I don't want to tune out the truth of God's Word in place of really what I've been taught by a man or my grandmother or maybe somebody very dear and special in my life. Thank God for those people that God has placed in the pathway of our life. But nothing, and I say nothing, will ever replace the importance of the Word of God in our lives. nothing. We just have to say, God, you know, help me to keep a mindset of humility, of teachability, the right spirit, to where I'm just in a mode of receive, and I want to receive God's word as it's given. What saith the scripture? So what do you mean, preacher? Well, on a variety of things we're going to talk about in these Sunday mornings, and we began from the very first Sunday morning of this new year, we began on what saith the scripture about the scripture. Brethren, these are the holy scriptures. This is the very word of God that we have. It's humbling to know that there's so few people in our world that have a full copy of the word of God in their native tongue, and we do. We're blessed. I said we're blessed, brethren. It ought to humble us. I was listening very carefully as they sang this song, and it talked about the blood of the martyrs. There are people that have bled. There are people that have given their lives so that you can hold a copy of the Word of God in your lap this morning. God, help me not to just allow my mind to wonder why the Word of God is being taught or why the Word of God is being preached. And God, help me that in my heart I might not visit where I may be at 2 o'clock today or at 4 o'clock today, but I might realize that in this hour and in this time, God has something for me right now that's going to help me, not just for time, but for eternity, you see. God, help us. It's a concern on my heart. Is it a concern on yours? I believe it is for most. We see what's happening around us. We see our world crumbling. We see the fabric of our society degenerating. What's the answer? Brethren, the answer is the Word of God. Amen. The answer is Jesus, who is the Word of God. He is the living Word of God. What should be my attitude toward the Scripture? Well, I'm a saved man. You see, I found out in these many years of ministry there's three types of people in the world. So I thought there was only two. No, I think there's three. I used to say there's lost men and there's saved men. Now, when I say men, I'm referring to just the natural state of individuals. There's lost people and there's saved people. But there's also a third group. There's lost people that think they're saved. And James deals with that. I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. If you're saved, listen, I'll come shout with you. Because it sure is something to shout about. Amen. Saved in the grace of God. Amen. On our way to heaven. Amen. Amen. I don't want anyone to just live their life back and forth doubting, am I not, am I, how can I be sure? Well, the Bible lays it out how you can be sure. Read 1 John. Yes, amen. You can be saved and know it. And I'm glad, aren't you? First of all, I'm just glad you can be saved. Amen. Listen, if God just did that, that'd be all I'd be satisfied with that. But God went beyond that. I can be saved and know it. Amen. I can be assured that I have been forgiven. I have the witness on the inside. Because see, when God saves you, He imparts into you, He indwells in you in the person of His Holy Spirit. And that is the witness on the inside that lets you know you have the goods. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn to Psalm 119 before we get into our text and to James. But turn, if you would, to Psalm 119. This past week, actually it was last week, but I did it again this past week. I just kind of thumbed through Psalm 119 again. And you know the content of Psalm 119. It's the Word of God. Almost in every verse of Scripture in Psalm 119 is a direct reference to the Word of God. And the psalmist is saying things like this, and I'm going to paraphrase before I just read some, and I want you to read them with me. Because it just challenges your heart. The psalmist is saying, I love God's word. And then I have to ask myself, do I? The psalmist said, I want to meditate in God's word day and night. And then I have to ask myself, do I? The psalmist said, I delight in the law of the Lord. And then I have to ask myself, do I? The psalmist says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then I have to ask myself, is that my mindset? Am I concerned that I might wander from God's commandments? Does it bother me that I might take a step out of line with the Word of God? Is my life casual and flippant and cavalier? Or am I concerned that I'm out of step with God's Word? Let's read just a few. Look at the way it starts in Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the way of the Lord, who walk in the law of the Lord, he said. That's a blessed man. You walking in the law of the Lord? As God has shown you, as God has shown me, are we doing what God said to do? See, those are those that are walking in the way of the Lord. Well, you're blessed. Right? Yeah, look at verse number 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Are you keeping God's testimonies? Am I? Does it mean something to me? Is it so bothersome to me that I might not be keeping, that I want to stay in this book and find out maybe what I'm not doing that I should be, or what I'm doing that I shouldn't be? Look at verse number 3. The latter part of verse number 2, I've got to get this in. And that seek him with their whole heart. Verse number 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Verse number 9 says this, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? See, these ought to be concerns of yours, of mine. This was a concern of the psalmist. How can I stay clean? Right? I want to stay clean. I don't want to defile. Isn't that what he said in verse number 1? I don't want to be defiled. I want to be undefiled. I want to stay clean before the Lord. By taking heed thereto according to what? Thy word. So, well, I think I'm going to throw a log on the fire at a youth camp. Well, listen, I'm for a youth camp. You can throw as many logs or twigs or notes or papers or sins that you wrote on a piece of paper all you want on that campfire. That's not going to change your life. But this book right here will. Amen. Listen, you can cry as many crocodile tears. I'm not being mean and ugly. I'm just shooting it straight here. We got folks that we're trying to get to read their Bible daily, and they're unregenerate. They've never been saved. A lost man will never want to read the Word of God. Before I got saved in the grace of God, I never wanted to read this book. And now we're trying to twist arms and pump and prime and get people to read something they have no interest in. But I'm going to tell you, when you get born again, as newborn babes, you will desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, you may not read it every day. You ought to. I ought to. But there'll be a desire there. See, when I read this Psalm 119, I just see desire. And see, desire, there's two ways that you can tell a lost man, by his desires and by his deeds. Can I tell you there's two ways you can tell a saved man? By his desires and by his deeds. Somebody say amen with me. Before I got saved, I never wanted to read this book. But something happened to me October the 26th, 1980. I got born from above, brethren. And God put a longing and a yearning in my heart for what was written in this book. How many of you can testify with me and say, I witnessed to that preacher. When I got saved, God put something in my heart for his word. I haven't read it every day. I'm not standing before you. Listen, I'm not going to try to be something I'm not before you. God knows what I am, and God knows what you are. Let's look at some of these scriptures. Look at verse number 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Can I say that? Can you? God, I'm coming to you, word, because I'm seeking you. I'm seeking you with all my heart, Lord. You mean everything to me. Oh, look at it, verse 10. Oh, he said, let me not wander from thy commandments. You see the sincerity? You see the desire in this man's heart? Do we see this in Christianity today? I want to bring it home because I can't control what's in your heart and life, but I can control what's in mine. Listen, is this in my heart and life? And I'm going to ask you to ask yourself this question. Don't listen, you say, well, I'm thinking of somebody right now, preacher. I hope it's yourself. Because that's who you need to be thinking of. It just seems like that when the Spirit of God begins to deal with us about something, the old flesh says, well, you know what? Oh, so-and-so could use that. Well, the Spirit of God must have thought you could. He dealt with you about it.
Right.
The same with me, amen. Amen. But you see that deflection that we use a lot of times? Well, so-and-so could use that. I'm thinking somebody right now that could really use this. Well, I hope it's you. Because I'm thinking of me. The Bible says here, look at it in verse number 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm just going to read down through here. Look at verse 14. I'm just going to read a few because I want to get to James 1. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. Do you rejoice when you're reading God's word? Are you glad that you have it? Look at verse 30. Look at verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Teach me, verse 33 says, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it until the end. God, teach me your word. I want to live it. I don't want to just know what your word says so I can know it. God, I want to know what your word says so I can keep it. Isn't that what he said? Because it's a good thing for me to obey the commandments of God. I'm a better me when I'm living for God. I'm a better me when I'm carrying out the principles and the precepts and the statutes of God's word. Aren't you? We all are. We all are. And yet if we're not careful, we'll lean on our religious know-how instead of the pure, unadulterated word of God. God help us. God help us. Look at verse number 34 and 35. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 35 says, make me to go into the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Go on and on and on, brethren. I want to show you one thing before I get off of this. So listen, I want you to read this sometime. You say, well, I've read Psalm 119. Well, good. And I mean that. But could I ask you to do it again? And just mark how many times that this psalmist says, I love God's word. Look at verse 97. This sums it up. I mean, he just comes right out and says it in Psalm 119 and verse 97. He said, oh, how I love, how love I thy law with an exclamation mark. It's just like it builds up and builds up and his soul just gets filled and just overflows. And he just, oh, how I love the law of God. Amen. What a great thing the word of God has been to me and to my life. It has absolutely changed my life. Thank God for his word. And I don't ever want to lose sight of the change and the impact that God's word can leave on my life, what it has done and what it is doing and what it can do. But now if I'm not careful, I can think, well, I know where I'm staying now. And I'm fixed. Well, I think you ought to be able to stand on some things. You ought to know what you believe and you ought to stand on it. Amen. But now don't you shut yourself off to the fact that God could teach you some more. God can take you deeper. God can take you higher. Right?
Amen.
God has more for us. And when we get to the place where we feel like, well, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to check my religious box with church attendance. Now, I'm glad you're here. You know that. Listen, I pray God fill this place up. Fill this up, and then we'll build across the street and fill it up. Not for me, not for you, but for the glory of God. Can I tell you, Jesus deserves all that and more? Amen.
Amen.
He deserves all that and more. He deserves everything we can do for him. Every person you ever tell about him, he deserves you to tell him about him.
Amen.
They need to know who he is.
Amen.
The greatest need in every individual's life is Jesus.
Amen.
It's Jesus. He said, I love thy law. Well, that challenges me. You love God's word? I love it, preacher. How much of it did you read this week? You sure you love it now? I read a chapter a day. Don't tell your wife you love her that much. Might cause some family problems. Takes about 15 minutes to read the average chapter in the Bible. I love you 15 minutes worth, honey. Come here and give me some sugar. You might get something, you might get a smack, but it might not be lip on lip. Amen. It might be. You see, we say things that sometimes you say, well, I love Jesus. Well, listen, I'm not here to doubt, question your love for Jesus. I'm just here to tell you what saith the Scripture. The Scriptures, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, we can say we love him all day long. But Jesus said, I'm going to put the rubber where the road, we're going to meet them right here. If you love me, keep my commandments, right? That's John 15. Well, I know a lot. Jesus said, you're not happy if you know them. He said, happy are you if you do these things. That's John 13, 17. See, I'm telling you what the Scripture says about the Scripture. And I want to close with this one before we go to James and finish up there. It's just one that when I ran across it, I thought, it's in 155, Psalm 119, 155. You read along and the psalmist is just saying, I love God, I love His Word. His Word means so much to me. I'm spending time in His Word. His Word is changing my life. It's permeating my heart. I don't want to wander from it. I want to keep it. I don't want to err from it. I just want to do what God's Word says. It's a good thing for me to obey the commandments of God. I just want to trust what He says. I just want to walk in His way. And you're reading along in this Psalm 119, and all of a sudden, he says this. Psalm 119, verse number 155. Salvation is far from the wicked. Look at this next statement. For they seek not thy statutes. They don't seek the Word of God. That's talking about the wicked. See, I don't want to put myself in that. I don't want to be one of these people that do not get into the book. See, I showed you a couple of weeks ago when we talked about this that there's people that resist the truth. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the last days, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says in the last days now, that's what's going to happen. People are going to resist the truth. They don't want to hear the truth because the truth will go to work on you. And so let's turn and see what James said about that, okay? In James chapter 1, there's three words that I want you to highlight in your Bible. So I don't write in my Bible. Well, I hope you have a good memory then because I want you to remember it. James chapter 1 and verse number 17, I want you to think about the word gift. I believe the Bible is a gift of God. It's a gift. Thank God for the Word. I am so thankful that we have the Bible to govern our lives and to bring us back in the fold, right? I mean, listen, we get outside, we just go astray, but thank God for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Word of God that brings us back. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Amen. And so the gift, now he said in verse number 17, he said, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Aren't you glad for that? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow nor turning. This is talking about the Father of lights. But in verse number 18, he starts talking about the Father of life because he says, of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. And so he starts talking about the word of God, the word of truth. And that's how you get in. That's how you get saved. God uses his word to convict your heart and to birth you and to save you and to birth you into the family of God. But then he gets to talk about something else, and I'll get you to go into verse 21 to underline this word. You see that phrase, engrafted. So he goes from a gift to a graft. You say a graft, not graph, G-R-A-P-H, no, graft. It's implanted. It's something, it's an implant. That's what an engrafted, by the implanted, by the engrafted word. And so he goes from talking about a gift, and then he says, I want to talk to you about a graft. And then in verse number 25, look at the last word of verse number 23, I'm sorry. In verse number 23, he says, a glass. He said, now here's three things about the Word of God you need to know. I'm going to focus, we've talked about the gift. I'm going to focus on the graft today. I want you to listen very carefully. Brethren, when I look at this word, engrafted, it means implanted, and it's kind of picturing our heart as a garden. And there's soil. And the condition of the soil is going to determine the potency of the work that the seed. Now, I didn't say the potency of the seed, but the potency of the work of the seed, the soil. Now, Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 13. He spoke about the soil. And he said, there's four types. And he said, you need to be careful now what type of soil your heart is. Get concerned, Jesus says. What saith the scripture, preacher? The preacher is telling you that Jesus said we need to get concerned on how we receive the Word of God. How do you take it in? I pray it's not like this. Well, I'm going to do some of what the preacher says from the Bible, but I'm not going to do all of it because there's just some of it I've made up my mind I'm not going to do. You're going to miss the blessing of God. I want to come and sit under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God and everything that's from the Bible. I want to take everything from the Bible into my soul, and I want to carry it out in my life by the grace of God. I believe you do too. But you see, we have to make a decision. This is what we're going to do. Notice what he said. He said, this engrafted word in verse number 19, he said, it'll change your talk. Look what he said. He said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Now, we talked about that. Now, some folks interpret that, well, that just means don't talk a lot, but listen a lot. Well, it could mean that, but we're not talking about just listening to anything. James is talking about, he's bouncing off verse 18 here. In the context of Scripture, he's talking about the word of truth. Because something so powerful that can save our soul is powerful enough that we need to give an ear to. Amen. Amen. He says, so every opportunity you have, you listen up now to what God is saying. Amen. Listen to what God is saying. God is speaking. Listen to what he's saying. What is God saying? Well, God's not speaking to me, preacher. Oh, listen, you're not in tune then. My sheep hear my voice. Are you listening? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You ought to be listening. God is speaking. I'm glad God has spoken. But can I tell you, he's still speaking through his word and through the small, still voice of the Holy Ghost. God is still speaking. And so he said, it'll change the way you talk. He said, you'll be swift to hear. But notice what he said right after that. He said, you'll be slow to speak. Speak what? The word of God. We talked about it. Look over in chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3 of James, verse 1. He said, my brethren, he said, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. He said, these people running around wanting to argue. And I think it is a disgrace. And if you do it, I'm not pointing you out. Intentionally, it's a disgrace that Christians get on Facebook and air out Bible arguments. The Bible's not to argue over. Preach the word. Preach the word, amen. You don't have to defend the Bible. The truth will defend itself. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. Got folks on their way, I believe this, I believe that. What saith the scripture? What saith the scripture? He said, you be swift to hear, you be slow to speak. You know what you're saying about God's word before you say it, amen? Amen. And then he said, not watch it now. He said, be slow to wrath. Now, why do you think James said that? Look at it, verse 19, slow to wrath. Because when a man stands up and preaches the word of God, straight like it is, pure, unadulterated, with power, it'll make you mad. Won't make me mad, preacher. Well, if you've been saved any length of time and somebody stood up and preached the Bible to you, you got upset about it. Somebody say amen with me now. Amen. Oh, and the preacher, I've been saved for many years and heard all kinds of Bible preaching. It never made me mad. You hadn't heard Bible preaching. Because there's something about the depraved man, there's something about the sinful nature that doesn't like to take in that good, pure Bible truth. And that's why he said in verse number 20, look at it, verse number 20, he said, the wrath of man. You get upset, you get angry, you say, I don't like that preacher, I don't like that preaching, I'm not going back to that church, and whatever the old wicked flesh and the enemy will sit on your shoulder and try to get you to say, you can say it, but the wrath of man will not work the righteousness of God. You'll never get what you need from God as long as you're resisting and denying and getting mad when God speaks to your heart. You'll never get right with God that way. Now, that's what the book says. We're talking about what saith the Scripture. The Scripture says, I need to be swift to hear. I need to put myself under the teaching and the preaching, the authority of the Bible. And I need to be slow to speak and offer, well, I think what the preacher said, or I think what that meant and this and that. Now, you better study that out a little more. See, the problem with a lot of Baptists is we don't know as much as we think we do. Our Baptist churches are filling up with theologians. But they hadn't got it right on small matters like tithing. You see what I'm saying? Just being faithful to church. Just winning souls to Jesus. But they want to talk about the weightier matters of the law. Want to dispute. You listening? Now, well, I think it means this. Well, what do you think it means over there when it says, rob not God of its tithe? You got that figured out yet? Amen. I'm not being smart. I'm just saying, if we're not careful now, our churches are filled up with theologians. And we'll think we know it all when we really don't know much of anything. Except for what we think we know. Be careful. Be careful. Because it can happen. Say, preacher, just to be frank with you, I think I'm getting in that verse number 19 right now. That latter part. I feel a little anger seething. I don't want you to be angry at me. I'm just telling you what God said. What saith the Scripture? What does God say? God said, be careful. You don't know as much as you think you do. So I'm gonna raise my kids at the house, and we're going to do it our way. And forsake the assembling of yourself and think God's going to bless that? God doesn't bless that. Right. Listen, once and for all, brethren, let me get this down. God does not bless disobedience. Amen. So well, he's going to bless ours. Never has and never will. God doesn't bless disobedience to his word. See, the problem with us, and I'm saying us now, the problem with us is we have picked and chose what we wanted and what we didn't want and said, now, God, I want you to bless this, what I chose, and I want you to overlook this, what I haven't chose. But that's just not the way God worked, brother. God's not going to overlook yours, and he's not going to overlook mine. He's not. He's going to hold me to every word that's written in this book right here. And so he said, number one, he said, be swift to hear. He said, but now also, he said, be slow to speak. And he said, be slow to wrath, or the wrath of man. Look at it in verse number 20. It worketh not the righteousness of God. You're not going to get anywhere with God that way. You can get mad at the preacher, get mad at the speaker. But the thing to do is just realize truth is truth. Maybe I need to change some things. Maybe I'm not so right after all. And that's for all of us. Then look, if you would, in verse number 22 or 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And so he said, not only will it change your talk, he said, it'll change your walk. Look what he said. He said, I want you to lay apart all filthiness. Now, if you have to go asking somebody, excuse me, is this wrong? It's wrong. Right? Quit looking for people to say it's okay to do something that you know God said not to do. And I'm telling you now, brethren, that's a lot of our problems in our churches, in our homes, in our lives, is that we have tried to somehow get around the truth of God's word. Well, we're God's children. We're Christians. I want as much of this book in me as I can get. I don't want to find out how much of it I can get away with. I want to find out how much of it I can get in me. And I believe you do too. And so don't fall for the line, the trick of the devil now. And think, well, I can give it by half and God's going to honor that. No, God's not going to honor that. No, he's not. God's not going to honor it. And he said, I'm telling you right now, what saith the Scripture now when it comes to the Word of God? Look at verse 21. He said, I want you to lay apart all filthiness. That's right. Those evil thoughts, those unclean thoughts you're having, get victory over them. Well, I can't. No, you won't. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He said, get rid of them. Lay them apart. Isn't that what he said, brethren? You say, preacher, that's hard. Well, sometimes the Scripture is hard. And we're not looking for some kind of easy out, are we? Listen, we could build a building 10 times this size and fill it up like many have. All you have to do is tell people, listen, come to church. We're not going to tell you how to live. We're just going to tell you how to get to heaven. Amen. I said, amen. Somebody be my witness now. Listen to me. But God has a higher standard than that. God said, I'm concerned how you live. I'm concerned how you represent me. And I want you to put away, lay apart, verse 21, all filthiness. You say, what's that mean? I don't think you have to have me break down filthy to you, do you? Lay aside all filthiness. Lay apart all filthiness. Now, here's one you might. Superfluity. This means overflow, overabundance. It could mean the things that are brought over from your past life. I don't know. Where were you when God found you? Was you at a crack house? Right? Beer joint? Maybe he's on a church pew. I don't know. God finds sinners everywhere. Right? He said, don't let those things carry over. Lay that apart, that overflow that maybe come over from your past into your present. He said, it's time to put those things behind you. But it could mean this, that overflow that you think that's just between you and no one else knows about it, but yet it's flowing out in your life and it's contaminating other people. Because he says superfluity, look at the next phrase, of naughtiness. And so he said, just be careful. Let the word of God not only change your talk, but let it change your walk. Now I want to close with this to lay a foundation for where we'll be next time when we meet on Sunday morning. Out of James chapter 1. Because I'm not going to rush through this. I think that this is the problem that a lot of churches are facing. And it can happen at Fellowship. Now listen, Fellowship Baptist Church, tonight, one of the things that's just going to thrill my soul is many will be right back here, swift to hear again. What a blessing. I bless God for that. I praise the Lord for that. So don't think, well, you know, the preacher, he must think that we don't never read our Bible. It's not that at all. I'm just saying, be careful. Be careful. It's easy. Listen, the devil can throw you a curveball and you'll be off track in no time. It can happen, brethren. You'll never miss your second day of reading the Bible until you miss your first. Right? You see? He just keeps chipping away, doesn't he? Doesn't he, brethren? That old enemy just keeps chipping away. He's not going anywhere. He's not. He's fighting. He's going to continue to fight. He's after your dearest possessions, your family, your children, your character, your integrity. He's after it. He is. I know that I've seen too many men jump from a church pool, not saved men now, from a church pool, a pew to a bar stool, just a little step at a time. Right? Miss a little reading, a little praying. Wednesday night's not that important. Sunday school's too early, you see? Then before you know it, you'll begin to entertain thoughts and ideas that you should never entertain. You thought, well, now, preacher, that'll never happen to me. I read in my Bible, what saith the Scriptures, where there's a group of disciples that said, oh, we would never do that. One of them spoke out real loud and said, oh, I never. Though they all would do that, I wouldn't do that. And Jesus said, well, actually, Peter, you are. But I prayed for you. And when thou art converted, right? Amen. So it can happen now. It can happen. And I don't want to see it happen to you. Listen, I've been doing this a long time. I've seen too many people fall by the wayside. I don't want to see anybody fall by the wayside. But it can happen. Now, let me close with this, all right? Look at verse 22. This is where we'll pick up next week. There's an interesting word here that I want you to go home and look at. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. He said in verse number 22, but I find that very interesting that verse of Scripture starts. We'll talk about that next week. Why does verse 22 start with but and not and? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, he talked about that again. Notice if you would. He talked about it again in verse number 25. He talked about deceiving. Oh, I'm sorry, verse number 26. He said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. See, you can think, well, this not for me. Don't deceive your own heart now. Don't deceive yourself. Because it could be for you. As a matter of fact, it is. It's for all of us. It may be a word of warning only. But see, this is where we fall into the trap. We just think, well, that's not for me. Don't deceive yourself. Brother Frank alluded to it in Sunday school. Sometimes say, well, the devil deceived me. The devil done this. The devil done that. Now, you may have done it. You may have deceived your own self into believing something that's just not so. Like, I'm okay. You may not be okay. You may be right on the cusp of taking a step off the precipice. Right? You could be that close and not even realize it. Because you've deceived yourself into believing some things about yourself that are just not so. And brethren, we all do it. We can say we don't, but we do. And we just have to be careful. Be ye doers of the word. Now, James doesn't take up on this man. Okay? He doesn't take up on a doer. He takes up on a hearer that won't do. Because look at verse 23. And if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he said, I want to tell you about that man. He said, I'm not going to tell you about the doer. He said, I think you know about a doer. I want to tell you about a man who's a hearer but won't do. He just hears and hears and hears, but has already made up his mind, I'm not going to do that. That's just the way that crowd believes. He said, but I want to tell you about the person who hears and won't do. You see that word hear? Would you go home and just look it up? Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. See that word? It's from the word that we get our word audible, that comes from, listen now, auditor. Look it up. How many of you have ever audited some kind of class? You know what I'm talking about when I say you audited a class. You know what it is to audit? You don't get credit for it. You just sit in on the class, but you're almost like a guest. You don't get credit for it. You know, you're an auditor of that class. You're not on the roll. Now listen, you're not on the roll. You're not going to be tested. You're not going to be questioned. You're just sitting in as just a guest. That's called auditing a class. You're an auditor. You sit in on the class, and there's really no responsibility. And this is what James is saying. Don't find yourself in church that way. Don't find yourself in Sunday school that way. Don't find yourself in prayer meeting that way. Don't find yourself at a Bible study that way, to where you're just there to kind of observe. I'm just auditing. I'm not going to have to answer for this. I have really no general interest in this. I'm not going to be tested. I'm not going to be held accountable or responsible for this. I just want to hear and see what's being said. I have absolutely no intention on doing anything in this class. I'm just going to kind of sit in on it. That's what James is saying. Don't find yourself there. But be ye doers. See, that's the person that has taken the class seriously. That's the person that has signed up. That's the person that's all in. I'm listening. I'm hearing so I can do, not just so I can know. Right? Well, I know, preacher, I know. I didn't say you didn't know. But knowing's not what James is after. He didn't say, but be ye knowers of the word. Right? He said, be ye doers. I want to ask you to stand. I would love to come to church this morning and preach on the love of God and Jesus dying on the cross and being buried and resurrected, and we have eternal life and we're going to heaven. But you know, I appreciate people who pray for me. There's many that pray for me. They text me, I pray for you, Pastor. And I want to get God's mind. And brethren, I'm concerned. God's given us a great church here. This is His church. There's some great people in this church. This church is not great because of the pastor. This church is great because of the God of this church. You understand that? But with great privilege comes great responsibility. For all the things that we enjoy here and that we get, brethren, we're held accountable for them. And I'm just trying to warn you now, in love. I've said nothing. God knows my heart. I've said nothing out of wrath or anger or contention. I just don't want to see people be deceived into thinking, well, I'm not going to be held accountable for what the preacher's preaching or what the Bible says. Yes, you are. We all are. And it's a serious thing. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. When we're reading those Psalms, were you thinking, yeah, that's me. I love thy law. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I just want to keep God's word. You know, I just want to do God's word. I just want to look into his statutes. I just want to bury myself. I want to just get my heart in that book. Now, if that's it, great. Now, if there's something there, then you know, maybe you need to come and join these and say, you know, I haven't been that way lately. I remember a time when I was that way when I first got saved. I loved to read the Bible. I read it regularly, and I wanted God to speak to me, and God was speaking to me, and my life was changing, and I was growing, and I was just, it's like a fire was in my heart, and things were happening on a daily, if not daily, at least regular basis. But well, I tell you, then things kind of leveled off, and I seemed to have lost some fervor, and it's almost like if I'm not careful, I try to find an excuse not to put myself under the teaching of God's Word. The first little thing that comes up, I'll just miss it and go to that. It could be a family event or a sporting event, and I'll just miss it. Or I'll sit in church instead of listening to God's Word and saying, God, speak to me. Thy servant heareth. God, speak to me. My mind will be on other things. Only you know if God spoke to your heart. I don't know. Only you know.